2011 F-Con.
That's
so
probably scared. Ed Meier.
So scared. Before they even...
So I don't think Dave Wills will be attending, or anybody from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And Fredericks will probably be down a bit. Loris, you know, 10 o'clock.
You know, he's been on vacation for like 2.5 weeks.
Has he?
His wife's been gone for like 2.5 weeks.
Okay. Hey, but he gave me a response yesterday.
I quit. He was on the phone.
Participants have joined the conference.
I will give him credit for that.
Good morning. Somebody just joined the F-bomb.
Okay. Thank your wife for 2.5 weeks.
All right.
Hi, this is Lisa. Lisa Wright.
Hi, Lisa Wright. Were you on a minute ago and hung up?
Yes, I was, and I got disconnected. Sorry.
That's okay. We're just about to get started here.
Okay, sounds good.
Thanks.
You are?
Yes.
Okay. That's my mirror. Alrighty. Okay. So, everybody have a copy of the agenda?
Nope.
No. No.
Yes.
No. Where are the answers?
I'll be alright.
Yeah, I'll be alright.
I'll look at Schwartz.
You cool? You good? You good? You can track? Right on. It's a pretty light agenda. I had a couple add-ons. One is I added Bonneville Main Unit 17.
What? You mean what?
And I also added John Day Gatewell Mortality. There is an MFR out there, but I'll add that on. Is there any other add-ons to the agenda?
I had a real short one. Just Powerhouse 2 priority in light of our current Powerhouse switch.
Oh. Is that going to be discussed with MU 17?
That can be.
Okay. We'll add that together. Okay.
Russ Keeper
has joined the conference.
Hey, Russ. This is Byrne.
Morning.
Morning. We're just getting started.
I'd like to add that line 6 outage at the Dalles. Just some information on that.
Where is that on the agenda?
I don't think it's on there yet.
Line 6 outage.
I don't know. Is there an update on the McNary the outages, the new outages?
There should be.
Is there an update in there on that?
The NWW updates, okay. Turbine operation. There should be.
Do you have one?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, it's related. Somewhat related.
Anything?
Where's BTA? They're not in today.
Nope.
Scott's not here.
He's on the phone yesterday.
Did you get Laura Granite on here, Greg?
Yeah, Laura Granite's on there.
Okay.
All right, well, before we start, let's go around the room. So, let's see, I got Russ Kiefer and Lisa Wright on the phone. Anybody else?
Steve Richards.
Steve, hey, Steve. Anybody else?
Dave Statler.
Dave Statler. Thanks for calling in.
A participant has joined the conference.
Somebody just joined?
A participant has joined the conference.
Oh. Brad, it's Scott.
Hey, Scott. Anybody else just join us?
Shane Scott, Public Power Council.
All right. Hey, Shane. We'll go around the room so you know who's here.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm Bernard Clatt with the Corps.
Greg Moody.
Doug Bowes, Corps.
Rick Kruger, ODFW.
Trevor Condor, NOAA.
Bill Heflin. Gary Fredericks, NOAA. Dave Bender, Fish
Bender. Bob Cordy, Corps. The Dalles.
Dennis Schwartz, Corps.
Miro Zindel, Corps. John Day.
John Rarisich, Corps, Bonneville.
Tammy Mackey, Corps.
And is there anybody on the phone that needs to add anything to the agenda? If not, we'll get started. Okay, so reviewing the July minutes, they haven't been out yet. That's kind of my fault because I was responsible for them and half of them are not recorded. So Tammy's got a draft here, so she'll send it out soon. And my meeting minute.
What have you ever seen Byrne's notes? I mean,
chicken scratch?
Check that out. Yeah. I was struggling.
Yeah, that was beauty.
So kind I'm of listening to the whole thing. They'll be out soon.
It's hard to do at the same
well,
time.
Well, did you ever go to school?
What's that? I never used notes. I don't take notes, you know. I have a photographic memory.
That's what he has me for. Yeah.
Homeschooling is better.
So with that, the July minutes are coming, and we'll approve them with the in September. Yes. If we have a September meeting, we'll talk about that as well. Because of the AFS, International AFS is in Seattle at the same time that FBOM is usually scheduled, depending on who goes and who doesn't. So we'll get right into action items. Walla Walla, you have some action items. So you go ahead, Greg, with 2.21, the McNary Emergency Bypass Operation.
Well, these look like a repeat of last month's action updates.
They are. I couldn't figure out if they had been dealt with or not.
2.21. Gary, you did receive the drawings, correct?
Uh-huh. Okay. Still have questions.
Still have questions, right. So that's basically done.
Okay.
2.2.2.LMN RSWSOP.
Before you start that, so are your questions something you're going to write up, or how do you want to deal with your questions?
I think I may have sent some of those to Ryan. I just can't remember what I did. I got them. I looked through it. I didn't like some of the stuff I saw. I wasn't sure what some of the velocities and the elevations weren't clear. Mm. It was difficult to tell what was going on from a hydraulic standpoint. So I don't know if I actually sent anything back to Ryan or if I just noted that there was a lot of questions and moved on to something.
Okay.
Juggling too many things to remember all the details like that. But I'm not done yet.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I'm sure there's a sit down discussion, maybe.
Yeah.
Fitterwig meeting, except that it's forever away. But you know, if we could have a before we need to do this again this next year, we probably ought to talk about fish survival through that, or what we think could be. You know, I mean. We don't know what fish survival is, but we can anticipate based on the hydraulics and the conditions. So there's some issues I'd like to have more clarity on. That's really going to have to come from somebody who's familiar with the system. Or maybe we go up to McNary and actually look at it.
That may be a way of doing it, too, when it's in operation, then.
Yeah. We have a cop issue that needs to be resolved yet. Maybe we can combine those two instead of a trip up to Orion needs to be on that one, too. So maybe we schedule a September trip to McNary and deal with the McNary cop and this
issue with the fish, the bypass there, yeah. Because September should still be in operation.
It's still be in normal operation. Yeah. They shouldn't have flipped over to the
They shouldn't
side.
Have flipped over, yeah.
But that's what I want to talk about.
Okay. So that might be a good time to do that.
Yeah.
So that's your action is to get with Ryan and set that up?
Yeah, I think Ryan, I, and you come up with a date, present it to FPOM. Hopefully everybody's available for that thing. Who would like to go there because it'd be the same time. I guess Alex has got a cops, what do you call that, a Google poll or a poll out right now? A doodle poll.
Yeah, he did. I have absolutely none of those days open.
Oh, gee.
So I just sent it back blank.
Okay.
And I know Marvin tried to call me, well, when can we meet? But I'm not going to meet with just Marvin and Alex, I want the other agency folks.
Yeah, too, definitely. So yeah, please populate those. Please populate those dates
when
and Alex's.
Other agency folks, who are you? Because I mean, if we could always do an F bomb.
Russ Kiefer was involved in that a lot. I think Rick should be involved in it at least.
Mm-hmm.
Tom. I know Tom and Rick and somebody. I don't know who
Dave.
The person was back now. The meeting that he had scheduled.
Dave may not participate.
Earlier. What's
that? Dave Wilt may not participate.
Yeah, he's been in other
things. He's been pulled off on some other things.
But the idea is to get everybody in the room to work over the final details of the data that are going into the McNary COP and with the assumptions. And that needs to happen sooner than later.
Do you have any dates open right now in September that you can?
Yeah, I do. I didn't grab the calendar.
I forgot your calendar. You always forget your calendar.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have to make a reminder. Go get your calendar.
I got a lot of stuff.
Rick, do you have some dates also?
Yeah, but I never can predict what's going to walk all over things I plan because of the Columbia River Treaty stuff.
Yeah, I can't.
They're just bullies.
That's a waste of time.
Mm. So, I got a few dates open.
Are you planning on going to the AFS?
No, I definitely will not be going there. But I'm on the 8th of the FPOM meeting, there's a Columbia River Treaty meeting that day, so it's not available.
It's on the record.
Okay. That week looked good. We should work.
Is anybody in this room going to AFS besides Tammy?
AFS?
Yeah, in Seattle.
How'd Tammy get permission?
She's volunteered.
Oh, it's punishment.
But I'll be back on Thursday for FPOM. I will not be missing another FPOM if I can.
Jeez.
That's like washing a red thing in white stuff. Yeah. So you never have to wash the washer.
Too. Yeah.
Nice job, Byrne.
It worked.
There you go. God, I didn't know what happened to the meeting notes. The battery died. I got this nail fungus. And, oh, my God.
How to make sure Tammy will never miss another. You didn't have to say a word.
That's a good idea. The red stuff in the laundry.
All right, so for this McNary, we'll try to nail a date down through whoever the POC is at Walla Walla.
Alex is supposed to.
Alex.
No. And it'll be a cop combination meeting.
This week? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. We were supposed to be there on Tuesday. Yeah. Okay, Rick pulled out of it.
Darn Rick.
I know. Like I said, that Columbia River Treaty, they're just
as Oregon gets more and more busy, are they going to ever split out or add an additional position so you guys can attend?
Sure.
Well, I'll buy another fishing license, you know. We can get somebody.
I'm not supported by fishing licenses.
Oh, you're not?
No.
We flush the toilet? What?
Tax.
I don't know.
Tax dollars.
It feels that way sometimes.
It's tax dollars. Oh, okay.
It's tax dollars?
No, support fish restoration.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we better move on.
There's nothing.
We kind of like to beat this dead horse a little bit more.
Yeah. Actually, what you might have is if I am too occupied with the Columbia River Treaty, you'll see Ron Boyce back in the breach again.
Oh, well, what can we know?
All right.
Well, we don't want to drag him away from his very busy stuff.
All right, let's move on.
Move on.
Okay.
222.
Whatever it will be.
LOMO, RSW.
We will work on it.
SOP.
The district is still writing that up. It has yet to go around.
Coming.
Incoming.
223, transformer isophase bus seal repairs. Wow, that's a big one.
That was done back in May, June. This is over.
This over? Okay. Sorry. McNary count station debris on the picket leads.
Yes, we did confirm that there's holes in both the upstream leads on the Oregon shore and the Washington shore. Done.
Hey, Greg?
Yes.
To comment on that.
Okay.
I noticed the other day when they pull the backboard, do the backboard cleaning at McNary, there is no structure, no barrier structure behind that backboard. When they pull it out, fish swimming in the count spot, pretty much every one of them will swim directly into the area between the picketed leads.
Oh.
So when they put, and a lot of them will actually exit before the backboard gets put down, if that's what I saw. So some fish are going to be trapped in between those picketed leads after the backboard is put back in place.
Wow.
So therefore, that exit hole is necessary to allow those fish to escape.
Carl Duger,
heads up on that.
Yeah, thanks. That's good information.
That makes sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. And absolutely, because Carl confirmed, he said that he saw the exit holes visually. At both the at Washington Shore and the Oregon Shore, when I asked
them.
I had a measurement for last, this was last month's meeting. It was close to about 18, 24 inches.
Normal size
hole. Right. If I remember right, they were confirmed. I don't have the numbers with me right now, because this is last month.
So when they pull the backer board out, they don't put something in its place while they're cleaning? Is that what they pull it out and clean it?
I guess that's what it is.
And then stick it back in the slot.
Steve, what shore was that?
That was the Oregon shore. Most of these count slots, have a hard backboard.
Yeah.
And then they've in the recent years, they've come up with these wide backboards that slide right in front of the original count slot backboard, which was a lot of times was a lighted board.
Yeah.
But McNary, for whatever reason, I never noticed it before, doesn't have that hard barrier structure behind their backboard. It's just a metal framework that adds some rigidity to the removable backboard.
So it just leaves an open slot so they can swim in behind it?
Yeah, they will open hole. They swim in there, and then they mill around, and a lot of them come right back out. Mm-hmm. But just giving you guys a heads up so that if someone was thinking about plugging up that escape hole, that would be problematic to their routine.
Sounds like a job for Carl Duggar.
Yeah, it sounds like a job for Carl. Put in a plexiglass sheet or something in there, at least, or whatever hydraulically that needs to be done. Let me look that up. Oregon Shore.
Put that on the update for the next.
So is that a follow-on?
Yeah.
Looks like it's a follow-on.
We'll keep that on the agenda for an update.
Let's make sure that the records show that there's a, or that those holes aren't just holes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're orifices, they're full size. Let's make sure that terminology has changed.
Okay.
Alrighty. Adult Passage at Granite? Or is that Goose? Goose.
We discussed this at
SRW.
Fitterwick last week. Was that last week? 2 weeks ago?
Last week.
You can take it off there. The plan is visit the model again this winter, and a RT adult study in FY13.
Yeah, that's what.
So a model trip this winter and a RT study in 13. Okay, thanks.
Hey.
Yeah.
This Russ.
Yeah.
You know, 13 and not 12.
That's what I heard, Russ. 13.
Okay.
Plan. Because
a participant has joined the conference.
They could go along with some other things that want to get done in FY13 combined.
Okay.
And then do the evaluation in 13.
Yeah.
Okay. 2.26 McNary TSW removal. Did you get that spill pattern from Tim? There was an altered spill pattern during that.
During that period of time, it should. I think Tim did send it, but that's another thing from back yonder that was done.
Back yonder.
Back yonder.
About the last month.
Last month.
Russ Keeper
has left the conference.
Ooh, Russ.
You're in, Russ.
Gotta go walk the dog.
2.27 spillware debris clogs and we'll draft language. We did that last month.
Okay.
That was completed.
Okay, that's good.
And
2.8
is now not done due to funding.
So 2.2.8 is still.
It's still there, but they're not going to work on it until they receive more funding for it. That was the entranceway closures permanently done in McNary, the entranceways into the spillway, just like the other two dams upstream that we did it to. They don't have funding for that project continue. So we'll get a new schedule when and if it gets funded again.
Okay.
When and if.
All right, three updates. Wall updates. Turbine cooling water strainer update. Just go to the spreadsheet.
Techno decline.
Has joined the conference.
Techno.
What the heck?
Making
is this techno decline, Dr. Captain?
Yeah.
What the heck was that?
My headset died, and so I'm dealing with the speakerphone when I pick up the headset. And set it down, and Hank took the call and tried to call back in.
All right. Russ is back. Transportation. How are we doing on transportation?
Transportation.
I'm sorry, what was the 3.1.1?
That was turbine cooling water strainer updates. There's a spreadsheet on the website. You can go get it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It would be updated every month before FPOM.
As soon as I get web access.
Yeah, as soon as, okay.
Do you have it?
I have no idea. Our system network's been kind of weird.
That makes sense. Mm. Even for fish counts, it has to.
Really? Yeah, there's something big going on.
Mm, interesting.
Kind of virus.
Yeah.
ACID virus.
ACID virus.
So, transport?
Transport. Fish transport operations. Last barge will leave Lower Granite on August 15th. The last one at McNary will barge. Transport will be August 16th. All of the facilities will then go to every other day trucking on the 17th, starting with the 17th. We initiated daily transport at McNary on August 3rd. That is one day barge, one day truck to Bonneville.
So you'll go to every other day transport on 17 August then?
At this moment, yes, we will. At McNary.
Mm-hmm. We're going to want to watch carefully the temperature issues. The
reason absolutely.
We went to every day was to get, because of the temperature concerns, this line outage issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what's, hopefully we'll be cooling off instead of warming up, but this year's been weird enough that we don't know what we're going to have.
I concur on that one too.
We're seeing problems as a result of units being out, and I don't know how this is going to really help. I mean, that's more of a collection channel problem than transport. I mean, just minimizing the stress those fish have in raceways.
Supposedly, those lower units will be back in operation at that time.
But then
on the other end, too.
And that's, we normally go to a north loading when we have temperature problems. And we can't
talk about McNary?
Yeah, McNary.
So it could be worse.
Yeah, it could be worse at that time of the year.
We won't be able to go in north loading. And is that work progressing any quicker than anticipated? Or Scott, do you know
what's going on?
It might be done this weekend.
For both ends?
Yeah, the whole project.
Cool. Good.
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
So I want him to say
they've been able to actually run more units than expected during the day this week, so it's not impacting us much at all.
Okay. Good.
So, yeah, we'll keep an eye on the temperature just in case after the 17th. Yeah, definitely.
We're not having temperature issues and the project's back to normal operation.
Well, we'll keep that in mind. Definitely.
All right, 3121. We already took care of that.
Took care of that.
In August 3rd day. Mm-hmm. Portland updates. Mid-season fishway ROV inspection results. Start with Bonneville.
Nothing to report now. Look pretty good.
What?
We got a crane coming today.
Excellent.
We'll investigate all the ones we couldn't see tomorrow.
So the crane's coming from where at?
Rental.
Tacoma. So you're going to get this as a big crane?
Yeah.
Well,
it's a 90 ton. I don't know what it is, actually.
It's like a 90-ton mobile crane.
He's driving it all the way.
I heard it. Yeah. It's just a 90-ton mobile. It just needs something to hold a man basket and not have to move so many times with so many picks. They wanted to get something.
We have both our cranes over the nav lock right now, so we have nothing on that side. We're not going to have something anyway.
So the plan is to continue with the inspection tomorrow, and then I have been working with the dive team to plan for that dive to repair the junction pool diffuser gratings, and hopefully that's all we have to do.
They should end. They're going to have to get that third one out too.
At the third pool.
That was one that was the worst.
So is the plan just to pick that grating up and leave that hole open? Or is to repair it?
Repair it.
So that's a go to Orifice Flow and
right.
UNP.
Do whatever it takes to get that thing repaired. And if we have to throw a grating on top of it, like you were suggesting, like we did back.
Well, I think that was. Yeah. Well, that would just throw a grating over the top of it.
That's just to get it down.
To tailwater, and then go underneath it. But yeah, you have to pump that one out. Is that one? That one's the third one up. That one you won't be able to unwater. You'll just be able to.
The one that's third one up is just blown up. It should just be able to be put down and welded in place by a diver.
But we don't know if there's anything under it.
No, we don't.
We won't.
And so we're just going to seal it up and
they're going to have to look at, the divers can look and see what's in there as best they can.
I mean, if, yeah.
They could be in, whatever's in there could be cleared off in the model.
But the 33 orifice pit, is that the one? Are you going to shut down to less than orifice flow? And
we weren't concerned about it.
We're going to go to orifice flow, get a diver in there, and do the three grates that we've identified right now.
There's two in the
Are you putting bulkhead in at the UMT and leaving the exit fully operable? Or you are going to be able to get divers in there under orifice flow? Because I thought that would be a concern. So your option is to put the bulkhead in.
Tailwater, we have to dewater to tailwater.
But you can put the bulkhead in at the UMT, so you're only dewatering that middle section.
Yeah. Right.
The upper section will still
down to tailwater.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the divers have to work under that tailwater level and above tailwater. You got to be able to get in there and take a close look at it. Now, whether or not you need to get 33 done is debatable right now. I mean, if it means lingering issue, I'd say no, because we were going to go ahead without it anyway. But if you can shorten up the time that this thing's out of service by not doing that, I think maybe I'd leave that for the winter. Yeah, it's easy to do. Just a couple of, another hour or two of work that you're done.
Well, it will be the difference between dewatering and not dewatering. Because if we don't have anything else, it'll just be diver related.
That's the other key, though. What else is going on with the ladder? Right. If we don't have anything else except that weir three spot, that diffuser there, then I'd say don't dewater.
Okay.
So you're not able to inspect the bug tailwater?
Yeah, they are. They will today. They're going to go
tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll know.
They can stick a pole in there with a camera.
Oh, I see.
But I'm thinking, you said if we find more, it may be prudent to put in the bulkhead.
By you guys. I mean, I don't know the conduits there, but if there are any more of those diffusers above tailwater that are off, and those fish have access to easy access to the monolith, to the AWS system, then we need to plug them.
Yeah.
If they don't, if you feel those are just going to be blind alleys, then let's just leave them alone. Okay. But, that's for Sam. I don't know about Lamprey. Guys from the Lamprey site need to think about this too. But from a salmon standpoint, it doesn't seem to be as much of a problem.
I just know any open pit, the Lamprey just loves to swim down there and find a dark hole and just stay. But
33, they're going in there anyway. That's the hole.
Right.
Right. So that's not an issue. It would be more of the
Do we think that we can make the repair at the third weir up, or put that back down under orifice flow? You think divers can do that?
We ask them, Bert?
What's that?
It depends upon tailwater at that time.
Yeah. I mean, is it below tailwater to where you're going to have
It is.
Okay, so you're going to have flow coming. And so everything's mostly going to be coming a little bit over the top of the weir, but those lower submerged orifices are going to be.
Won't be as bad there, it sounds like, but it could still be.
Well, just where is the grating into proximity of the submerged orifices?
Right.
Okay. So what you may do is, we've got those, those orifice blocks. You may be able to take one of those and make it a solid plate. Slip it over that, and so you block all the water from going through that orifice where they're trying to work in front of it, so that everything will be going over the other side, so they wouldn't have to try to put that grating in right there
with that flow coming
right through that orifice. I mean, that's just a suggestion that would help. So even if you just went to orifice flow, you could force everything over through the other orifice or the other orifice, or something coming over the top or whatever. It'd just be a little easier.
Anyway, we'll get to it. I'm sure you guys will figure it out.
So are there gratings that are going to be replaced, set back in or whatever?
Yeah, they're going to be set back in and either welded or clips reinstalled.
So, and when is this going to happen?
As soon as we can get a dive team in there. Probably Monday or Tuesday.
So is there going to be a check on any adult lamprey that may be down in the holes?
Well, the only thing you could, you can only do a visual inspection, and that's just, you know, how far you can see.
Well, and these grades, the lamp, adult lamp, we can swim through these grades regardless.
Yep.
Yeah. So
they can squeeze back out. Salmon are what are going to be.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because lamp break, you get down through them and come back out. We just hope they don't.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other questions on that?
The one thing, and I left a message for Todd, is project thought the easiest way to do it would be to weld them down.
Yeah.
I don't know if the Navy guys.
The Navy guys, they don't have that equipment, so it'd have to be provided. So, and he, I just asked him for an update. Right now, he's hoping one of the Navy teams can adjust their schedule so they can get down here next week, or else he'll have to get a contract.
But can they underwater weld?
They can, but they don't have the equipment.
It might be better just to
clip it and get out.
Well, either that or just get somebody, you know, that does that.
Right,
you know,
but if we're taking it down in October, then we can do some welding.
Well, no, in October they cut the welds out and, you know, re-secure it the way we normally do.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So how are these held down originally? I mean, there's probably going to put straps down.
We didn't do this section of the room. These didn't get strapped.
No, these are just clips.
These are the old clips that are prized.
Right? Yeah.
We may want to think about it. I mean, in the future, this is going to happen again. It's happened every time we've got a really high full gear. So, you know, we need to think about this. Unless we can do something about debris getting on the upper end, which we ought to try to do something about as well.
I agree.
Coming up with a better system.
Yeah, we chatted, Sean Tackley and I chatted a little bit about this yesterday, and Jerry Morseth is one of our engineers in the office, and he's doing some stuff for Sean on the redesign for John Day, the grating replacement there. And what Jerry found out is this design was not, these clips weren't originally designed for, the clips were designed just like the walkways are. They're just to hold it in place and keep it from shifting.
Yeah,
they were never designed for uplift, so which
that
is unfortunate. But so, you know, they have to go back and talk about and redesign it, whether you strap them down or you design a more beefy clip or a hold down, you know, that's going to be more beefy. Because I think we went and replaced the ones in the junction pool with some straps, with heavier, beefier clips. But these are in orifice pools that were never replaced or never rehabbed, even back in 97.
Maybe why we have limited damage is because we did rehab some of them, at least the ones in the 97, the ones that blew out.
We did that whole junction pool in 97. Yeah. Yep.
Well, that's
why
like
that
the pictures.
That one over there in the corner is underneath the lip of that concrete, right? So it's keeping it in place. So those seem to hold, but I think these are finding up the ladder. This is the first, like, real heavy force or uplift and orifice that we put in those orifices for quite a bit of time.
Hey, Dennis, do you ever think of zip ties?
Zip ties.
Another good use for a zip tie. That duct tape. I think they would be a temporary fix. I don't see any. You'd have to get some pretty beefy zip ties.
Titanium zip ties?
You can get some metal.
I think just rock salt will run, assuming.
Some galvanized ones so they don't rust.
Yeah. Plus
plastic.
You'd have to get the really heavy duty zip ties.
Lead zip ties.
Silver ones.
I think we also took
copper.
I think before we designed those. When we just wanted to set something over the hole to block the hole, we cut a big, huge chunk of grating, like big as these tables, and then we welded I-beam on either side just so they were so heavy, just laid them in place until we could, you know, come back and unwater.
Yeah, well, this might be something interesting for the lamp rig group, because if you're coming down, like, maybe a tie-down strip or something like that, you might be able to make that for, like, because we've talked about making, like, little covers on the edges for the lamp rigs. You might be able to incorporate that in there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying you're going to take money from Lamprey to pay for this, but...
Well, there's going to have to be Ben will come up, the project will come up with we'll fix it now, and then there'll have to be a plan for what we're going to do either this fall or whatever.
Sounds good.
Yeah, because Tackley, Sean was, I was a little bit concerned about, okay, we've got these issues at B2. Technically, it wasn't in the dewatering plan to take down B2 until...
FY
13.
Next winter, because we were going to do B1 stuff again this year, and we deferred stuff at B2 because we're going to, you know, the AWS mods for the Lamprey work and all that was going to be going on at B2 next winter. So I don't think B2 was on the schedule this winter. So, I mean, there's going to have to be some thought put into what we're going to do at B2 this year.
Yeah, what we did in 97 was we divided the monolith, we put a bulkhead in, and then we cleaned out the south side, put a bobcat in there.
Right, but that was, so, but yeah.
In October.
Yeah.
So, you know, we may need to talk about, I don't know if we want to talk about this now, but there needs to be follow-on discussion on this.
We'll follow on it. Let's deal with the issue we have right now.
But you're right, we'll do follow-on.
And then,
too.
As we talked yesterday on that call, we're tentatively planning to do the October.
Right.
Yeah, clean out.
The other thing people have been asking for is like an MFR on kind of what's going on. Division asked, you know, what the plan is and that kind of stuff, and what happened, that kind of stuff.
Sure.
So.
Well, you need to know what happened, yeah. So,
yeah, we're still.
Right, no. I mean, there hasn't.
But that's a good idea.
They were just asking about. They heard that some gratings blew off at Bonneville, and what was
yeah.
the, and they said
we'll
he said it was going to F bomb, and the decision was going to be made. There was a conference call. So,
all right, enough of this. Let's go to the John Day or the Dalles. The Dalles.
Hey, Fern, can I bring up one thing because it's related to Doug, and Doug has to leave here at 10.
Really? All right.
It's real quick. With Powerhouse priority switched. Right now they're running one unit, Powerhouse 2, and it would be 18 for the priority.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to Gary, I think we'd prefer 12 probably, but they need a teletype for that, so I just wanted to see if that was what everyone agreed to, so we could get that.
So bring on 12 as your first unit?
Bring on 12 as first, because that's a benefit for juveniles. We're not trying to benefit adults here at this time, not over there, so it would benefit the Clark Passage. Still have juveniles out migrating, and then whatever.
12, 13?
Once it spills over, then we're going to have more power, more flow there anyway. Hopefully this will be done, and we'll be
back to normal operations.
Right.
So all right. Bump 12 up on Powerhouse 2
yep.
to the first?
So 12 ought to be your
first on.
Yeah.
12 first on, Powerhouse 2.
You want to go center out, 12 down, 12, 13, 14, probably.
So what, do you know off the top of your head what the order is? So what would it be? Or going to read it? I'll look in that table 14.
12, 18,
17. 12, 18,
17.
17.
Then back order.
15 at that point.
15 and then 13.
So what you might want to do in the interim is basically 12 just go south to north. There's no sense to put a traction over by adult nurses because that's the last thing you want to do is put adults in veterans right
so
now.
So 12, 13, 14. Yeah.
Just
12, 18.
Well, no, so don't go.
Just go right up.
Just go 12, 13, 12, 14.
12, 14.
South to north.
What's the rest of them? 12, 13, 14, and then what? 15,
16,
17. 18. 17's dead.
17 is dead.
17's not back yet.
We might as well let that one out right now.
Yeah.
Toast.
MU 17 is down for a long...
Is it another 11?
Same order.
Just consider it another 11. I mean, and keep your fingers crossed. Because
we're hoping that it's...
High school when your systems are all back up and running.
We'll be retired.
Did Duffus talk to you about
open
trying to run it?
No, he did.
So
that's here to start, man. You got college.
He right. said he could put more on it.
Only college.
Oh. He's the only one that thinks that.
Really? That's why he's chief.
So it's not good news. Just
well, does this have to
until
be
they open it up.
Hopefully they learn something.
Okay, so yeah, 17 had a ground fault just like 11 did. Okay, and the issues associated with 11 is that. They installed air gap monitoring on all the main units because we have this reoccurring issue with these units going out of balance, the bearing going out of balance. And so the tolerance between the stator and the rotor starts to shrink. And so then you start getting this little chance of a rub. Well, these air gap monitors are supposed to give us a reading on when they get close to stretching that air gap when they're going to touch. Well, it got close and it started to touch and there's like 15 poles worth of scrape. So they shut it down. The plan right now is the chief of operations, Jim, is talking about rebalancing and balancing the bearing, trying to get it back on center, and to be able to turn it and spin it and get some load back on it. To see if they can spin it again. One is, right now they think they can rebalance it enough to spin it at speed no load, but we'd like to spin it at with load, because speed no load doesn't give us enough water to flush it. So we can set the tail logs down so we're not putting a lot of fish.
So you're just trying to get enough.
Speed no load is not enough, what I consider enough flow to flush fish out.
So you've established that you've got to take it down.
Yes.
It's just a matter of when.
Our plan is to try to, Jim thinks we can rebalance it, put load on the unit, then drop the head gates down. The other issue is we only have 3 units worth of tail logs. And so, I thought we had 3. We don't have 3 now? Okay, so 15. So we can't do this until 15 comes back, because 11 isn't going to come back until the end of October.
So, jeez, until the end of October?
Worse, yeah.
Which year?
It's this year.
Promise.
I'll keep you updated.
December of this year.
I'll keep you updated. October. So, anyway.
All right, so there you have it.
There you have it.
Okay.
Well, that doesn't answer the question I had is, with the experience of 11, can they get 17 back online sooner than 3 years?
I can't say anything to that.
One guy to work on it?
No. Well, I think what we have learned is that because Unit 11 was such a... they didn't know what all damage had occurred to Unit 11. There was a learning curve there.
Right.
So when they wrote the contract, there was like, tell us what's wrong with it. Right. Well, now we have much more information on really what's going wrong with these units. So it won't be so, the contract won't be written so broad to where it's going to take so long.
Right.
So I think the Corps is trying to come up with ways to not, I've been a proponent of having a Corps team that, you know, goes and fixes units instead of having a contractor. They go from project to project just fixing units. So we're trying to resurrect that, or there's some thoughts to resurrect that. But
so long and short.
This could be as long as 11, but I have a feeling because 11 was such a bad black eye for the Corps, I consider it a black eye. I don't think anybody's real impressed with the Corps' performance on this. But I think we can do a better job on 17.
Okay. Well, another question is, now you've done 11, you'll have 17.
We did 16, too.
You think it's going to be 16. So you're saying it's a chronic problem?
We think it's an inherent problem. And there is discussions on whether or not we need to rehab these units one at a time.
These are AC? No, generators.
Alice Chalmers.
Yeah,
yep.
AC.
Yep. So, and that's why the gap monitoring, it's like, when do we pull the plug on them and make the...
And then I guess the better question is, do we feel we've remedied the causal root of the problem, or have we just basically put it off for another 20 years and it'll do the same thing to us again?
No, I think they've remedied the problem. I think 11. What... Huh? On 11. And I think we've learned a lot. It may... I may like have a fitter wig or something like that. Maybe have a.
I was thinking, let's have a special discussion.
I may have the PM and maybe like the chief or the chief of maintenance come in and talk to everybody about those. So everybody can kind of have an update.
Because this is looking like it's a systemic.
Right.
The one thing I'd like to do.
That's an action.
Which should be a little bit different is when 15 comes back, the tail logs there, so they can do governor counts, which should end.
There's a fitter wig.
When they can pull tail logs, we can put them over in 17. I'd like to run 18 and 16 with whatever we can get out of 17. Jim thinks we can load it up. I don't know if we can. If we can't, we just get 1 or 2K coming out 17. So I'd like to have flow on both sides to so we're not salvaging 1,000 fish.
Right. Yeah, maybe.
It'd just be like a day.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else on 17? All right, the Dalles ROV?
Yeah, we completed that August 3rd. That's everything below tailwater with the ROV. And everything looked good.
Oh, brother. Another overachiever.
You guys learned in 1993.
Strap it down.
Not to let those things crash.
That's that movement.
Good news. All right, Miro, how about your inspection?
Well, not too different from the Dalles. all grading panels in place, no bolts missing. We did it on the third and fourth. Took a little bit longer. We also piggybacked the main unit one trash rack, 1C, and we were able to confirm, this is a different subject, but just a quick information that we were able to confirm that the one of the bars was damaged and there was a piece of metal sticking, as the structural crew was reporting, because the rake was hooking up on it and there was a danger. Or they were always very apprehensive because there was a danger of the damage to that rake. Mm-hmm. And what was even interesting, on the adjacent couple of segments, the bar was completely missing. So there is a wider gap than intended, obviously. So the project is looking now, and I think Temi will be coordinating for the quick repairs. First, what has to happen, they cannot pull the trash racks. They haven't been pulled for ages, and because of the debris on the top segment, including, what's interesting, we found two skirts from the tough boom on top. Two skirts from the tough boom, the metal skirts from the tough boom, the panels, right? It's pretty big. They're like, I don't know, 5x3, I don't know how they end up. And anyway, so the divers will have to clean the top of that trash rack to be able to hook up the lifting beam. Now we cannot hook up the lifting beam without that top segment being cleaned. That's about it.
The piece of metal sticking out, is that just the missing trash rack that's been dislodged and relocated or something?
Yeah, that sticking piece of metal is exactly the damaged bar. Okay. On that segment, that bar is still attached partially, but it's sticking out. And it has to be repaired. But like I said, on the other ones, and it's all lined up, it's the same, it's the same position. The other two adjacent have missing bar completely. It's gone.
What's your plan to fix this?
When, you think, or?
What's the plan?
The plan is, coordinate diving to clean up the trash rack and then lift them.
Okay.
And lift them and repair the damage.
So that's...
Hopefully it is being proposed for October.
Yes. So he's looking at October to get divers in there, since
Temi
probably won't work to coordinate with November or Bonneville divers. So in about October, main units one and two.
Is she not running?
Pardon?
This unit's not running.
Well, it will also require AWS shutdown for the John Day South ladder because of the proximity. 5 hours outage.
For the dive.
For the diving. At maximum 5 hours, maybe. We try to zip it up and make it as quick as possible.
It's running. It's running now.
We're running a unit that we know is full of debris, the trash rack.
Well, the trash rack isn't technically full of debris. It's on top of the track on the upper piece. There's logs and sticks and stuff that are up on that.
Out of the water?
No. They're below the water, but they're sitting on that sill where
the lifting
beam can go down.
Against the rack or not?
No, it's above the trash rack. Where they can
it's top, on top.
Not on the front.
Nice to have.
It's on the ledge where you're hooking up the lifting beam.
How many people here know exactly what you're talking about?
If you drop a bulkhead or a trash rack into a guy, you always have the top, and that's where you're hooking.
So it's just sitting on top of it?
Yeah.
There's some debris sitting on top of it. Yeah.
It's underwater. Jeez.
Temi is going to provide a picture for you.
It's still underwater 30 feet or 40, whatever the distance is.
So it is on the trash rack?
Yeah.
The top of the rack.
On top
of the rack.
Very top where it is.
No fish ever come in contact with this stuff.
Yeah.
The top of the rack.
Never.
Up against the
concrete.
So if your trash rack looks like this, and these are your bars and your supports.
Yeah.
You have the lifting eyes up here, and there's all these sticks and logs and crap, so you can't get the beam down to hook on to the...
The one which is missing is the vertical one. or damage on one side.
Right. But the trash rack itself is fairly clear of debris. It's just the top that has it.
They're speaking at holes.
Is it just the bar that's missing the whole length of the trash rack, or just a segment?
No, no. On a couple of segments, on one is damage, and a couple more adjacent segments is in line, the same thing. It's completely missing. Which is a wider gap, creates an opening for more debris, which could have something to do with that STS failure.
So they're still looking at the STS like weekly, right?
Yeah.
It's a letting, you know, it's a 6-inch gap. Well, now it's probably a foot gap.
It's, yeah, I think they're 4-inch. Yeah. Aren't they 4-inch?
The big main trash racks?
Yeah.
I thought they're 6-inch.
I thought they were 6.
Mains are 6.
6 inches, yeah.
6?
According to Fish Passage Plan, this is the last unit on the first off right now because of this damage. That's all.
Okay. Thanks. 322 is John Day, count station pickets. I think we gave that a trapped adult update at the last F-bomb.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else to add to that?
Yeah, I don't know if anything. I don't think anything has changed since then.
As it, oh, no, there were no guards. All adults so far, it appears that they were jumpers. And we did have opening areas which were uncovered because of the lamprey collection
right.
activities. In the previous years, we used to zip it up pretty tightly with netting. This year we left some areas, unfortunately, and when you do that, we discovered, you know, from experience, that that created an opening for fish. But subsequently, after we started finding, we found only two adult Chinook on the south, and Bob found that sockeye, I think, on the north. After that, we covered those excess areas with netting, and we're not finding any more fish.
Alrighty. Research updates. 3.3, PNNL is collecting lamprey from the John Day Small Monitoring Facility. They just, all permits are in place now, correct?
They picked them up yesterday.
Yeah, the first pickup, is that the total?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's just an update. And bass fishing at the Dalles. Bob?
Just a highlight. That was attached to the agenda, right?
Yeah.
The data on that.
I don't think the data got attached to the agenda because I was going to post it to the web. But I
have average catch and recapture for us.
Okay. Well, it's just an FYI on how they're doing that. So this is ODFW's bass angling off the dam, and they've been catching quite a few of them lately. Their catch rate is going way up, and there's more to come on that.
Are they getting a population estimate with that?
Mm-hmm.
Market capture estimate.
That's the purpose of the study, yeah.
It's just catch and release.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just catch and release. So they can do a
Pearson. I think it's the first time ever that they're doing population assessment and study of predation by smallmouth bass around the dams, which is really something we have been asking for a long time.
Yeah, so just wanted to throw that out there for your information, but we'll see more.
They're finding something.
Gotta be finding some giant fish.
So that'll be posted to the website. All right. Once you can get in, Tammy will post that.
Again.
All right. 3.3.3, Bonneville AFF, interpretation of the adult fish facility use temperature limitations in the fish passage plan. Does WDFW study fall under the USV Oregon exception?
A participant has left the conference.
And who put this in? Fredericks? Gary, you put this on?
Yeah.
And John? So, no. Is that it? No? No is fine?
What I would like to see is Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife explain why they are or aren't.
Yeah, I guess the first question here is, can you give an update of where they're at in there? I mean, have you been there? Has anybody been and checked that all out?
I was going to do it on Tuesday, but...
Check out the larger tank there yet?
I checked out the crickets stuff. So. Oh, that's one of the things. When you do get the Monday, Tuesday, when you guys going to rip the door of the slow, our guys want to do a little work, so
just do some little, like, reset up the set a few things, get things kind of perfect. So just let us know when you're going to actually take the ladder in the orifice below, so there'll be obviously no end up set for that day. So it'll be time to do it.
Okay.
All right, WFW has modified the flume that they're going to use. They've got rubber in place that made the trapdoor operable, and the tank is in there. I believe it's ready to go, and it's going to have to be movable at the end of each shift so they can get to the trash racks. I think they have their holding tanks ready to go, but I have not talked to Kenny in about a week or so.
Okay. So is that tank, is that the same one that Kripik used to use?
Yes.
Just the old sample.
So the new tank allows them to sample a larger fish, a longer fish, right?
That's the plan.
And that's the plan? Has that been set?
That's this afternoon.
Okay. And then so, but Washington's not going to be able to do that. They're still going to be limited to the old size that you guys were limited to. That's all clear and hunky-dory.
I don't know about Uncle Dory, but it's going
to
be...
I've told them they're going to have to do the best they can to eyeball what's coming down the flume like everybody else has had to do in the past, which is difficult. I mean, the longer you work in there, the better eye you get for that type of thing. But yeah, they're going to have a tough time with it.
Yeah. Yeah, this temperature right now, we're at 67.8 or 7, something like that. So we're right at 68. It's bounced up and down below 68, so we're just kind of flirting with that. And it hasn't got to 70 yet. May not.
So
temperatures in the basin haven't gone up that much, aren't anticipating to. So, but if they do reach 70, then the question is whether or not this work is under the Oregon or applies for that exception, and that needs to be resolved. And my response is that Washington needs to demonstrate that they are a part of their work as a part of the USV Oregon.
This is harvest rates?
So they need to write a letter or whatever that demonstrates that they are, that this work is necessary or is a part of that to get that exception. Otherwise, the fish passage plan says you're done at 70.
By the time the fish get here, they're done.
Yeah, they're done. But we're going to keep the powerhouse off.
Yeah.
We don't know that yet.
All right.
See, if they just waited a year, they would have been so much happier.
So those that have not seen the changes at the FF, I mean, if you want to get out there, just get in touch with somebody at the project. You should definitely just look at that tank. That tank's a little questionable as far as on.
That's later this afternoon.
It is? We're going to talk about that?
Okay, and back to this issue.
And they got photos and that kind of stuff.
Back to this
Gary?
Issue. Who's going to notify Washington?
Gary?
I will.
Yeah.
Steve Richards here.
Who
should they address that letter to? NIMS or the Corps? Or?
I think it goes to the Corps. The Corps is responsible for who's in the facility. So this is
the one that's just to burn?
This is a Corps plan. Fish passage plan is a Corps plan. So I think that this needs to go to the Corps.
So they would address it to burn?
What's that?
Or the project. I'm not. That's up to the Corps.
Yeah.
Asking for exemption for the U.S.
We'll get a hold of Eric and give him the details.
Okay. I'm sure he'll contact us.
Well, he's already been told. Haven't you already told him?
Yeah, we've discussed it with him, upon their coordination. And as it stands now, 70 degrees is the cutoff.
Yeah, unless I can provide the exemption language.
I don't think they've asked.
They have
not
asked.
No, they have not asked.
They have not asked to go above, so right now it's 70.
And they appear to be fine.
It will be an issue at 7.
Yeah. So, why are you
don't
saying
try.
Don't give an idea.
69.9.
I'm talking this year. I'd like to know how to
All right. Still, I will. I'll be the guy that chased that one down, along with John.
John will be the guy that chased
that down. Yeah. No. Totally. Fitterwig updates. Well, there's a Fitterwig on the 17th of August.
Update? One thing I did want to hand out, Brad Eppert just sent out today the there's going to be our one pager, our proposal review. It's on the 24th and 25th of this month. So I just hand this out for folks if you want to take a look at it. It's just how the days are going to go and what proposals we're going to review each day. So anyway, just...
Mississippi.
Yep.
Mississippi.
You're going to be in Mississippi?
Oh, okay. Yeah, Rice Harbor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Really, that's more important?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really? Yes.
That's more important.
Yes.
You're talking about the treaty.
When's this Mississippi trip?
The week of the 24th. Anyway, if you have any questions, send them to Brad. Looks like we have a full package. All the proposals are posted on our website. Brad sent out a message to the link to that yesterday. So we've asked the researchers that are coming in to please not give us a dog and pony show about why they should be doing the proposal, but we've asked them to discuss methods and objectives only. We understand why they're there. We don't need to be, we don't need to be impressed with that. We need to be talking research objectives and methods that they're going to be used. Those are the things we're going to focus on. Will you be able to call in, Gary, or? But you'll be able to look at the proposals and add comments.
Huh? All day stuff, so I got all day stuff.
No, is Ed going with you?
He'll be with me.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, I don't think there's any other... there is a Fitterwig meeting next Thursday, Wednesday the 17th. So folks, to get that on the calendars. There was one question, Sean Tackley, there was this question about... lamprey lighting behind the picketed leaves, I think. You remember that issue? That's going to be handled at Fitterwig. So if anybody has any questions about that, we're going to...
Lamprey lighting.
Interesting. Yeah. There's some lamprey lighting issues that they're going to propose at the Dalles, I think, and John Day. But there's going to be a brief discussion about it at Fitterwig.
To attract them or to...
I don't know. He just told me to let everybody know... He didn't want to discuss it here. It was already on the agenda for Fitterwig.
Okay.
Better counts.
Yeah.
See if they go through.
Is that it for Fitterwig?
That's it for Fitterwig.
RCC, I guess, Lisa, do you have anything for the RCC update?
No, I don't have anything at this time.
All right, thanks.
Good answer.
Okay. Thanks.
How about Scott Benton, BPA update? Anything?
Making money.
Cha-ching, baby. Scott, you still there?
His budget just got cut.
Okay. Well, no update.
I guess we heard a little bit from McNary.
Yeah, a little bit from McNary. There's an update that the power plant may be a back number. Good.
All right. Well, let's go to coordination forms number 4. Lomo switchgear replacement.
This coordination form, the original form was approved by our group here back in June, but when they got down to talking contract type level, type operation, they found that units 5 and 6 will be out of service for 2 weeks during this period of time in November. And they wanted to update FPOM in that manner. That's all. It's usually the powerhouse is going to be out for half a day to a day to switch over but they need units 5 and 6 out because of the switching, SQ, whatever that is, needs to be replaced. And it takes a little bit more time to do that.
So they're talking November to do that?
November still. Same period of time. It's in between everything else, but it's in November for 2 weeks.
And you still have 4 units available?
They'll still have the other units available at that time. I mean, you know, in that time of the year. It's just that the unit priority at that time of the year that is 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, then 1, and yeah. It's the 2 units, 5 and 6 will be out. Yeah. But generally, we may not be up to that level of operation.
Join the conference.
Somebody just joined FPOM. Silence. Okay.
That's the story.
You sure can do it?
All right.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Questions, update?
Did you, that critical infrastructure list is going to get posted? Okay. Number five, critical infrastructure. Gary, you asked for that list, and it's going to get posted.
I'm surprised to see me on there again. But, did some thinking about this. I think it would be a good idea if we did carry a list of the most important issues, like wire ropes and spillways, hoists, Bradford Island ladder rehab, things like that. But spillway apron.
Don't lose track of it.
So lose track of it, that we have it out there as a checklist of issues that we're concerned about, maybe some additional information on schedules for repair, costs of repair, those sort of details. And it's just, this is an O&M committee,
right?
So we should have those, we should have our eye on that.
Well, as soon as the website comes back up, we'll post the our fish facility asset list with costs. It doesn't have a timeline on schedule. I mean,
well, that's, it's kind of up to you and the core budget, but we could still sort of prioritize,
right,
based in our eyes what we think.
So I think the best thing would be to, once it's up, we'll send out a note and look at it, and then look at the priority that we have, our priority, and see if it meshes with what you would think.
Yeah,
and
I don't want,
we'll just keep
the detail, little things, not. Shouldn't be things that we worry about. It's more the big stuff.
Maybe for each project, have our top 10 list.
Top 10 list, yeah, that'd be great.
Okay.
Something like that. Just the big issues, the automation of P2, the Washington Shore Fishway, and the SA-24 board. That's an issue that we need to get that thing fixed. I know the guys are working on it. So saw the cabin was open when I was there a few weeks ago.
It'll be done supposedly by this FY.
That's just one of those big things that's being done and being demonstrated now.
Okay, so I'll take that list and I'll post it, but I'll also make like a top 10 for each project.
I think that's it.
And while you're going to have to do the same thing. I don't know what you guys got for your asset list.
I don't either.
I know all
you got. Our asset list went to Division.
Division? Yeah, well.
I'll have to look and see what he left behind.
He didn't say ass. He said ass.
Our ass went to Division, yes.
So, yeah, that each project,
oh, sweet.
Down.
Sure.
What happens?
We'll do it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's just something that we get on.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Talk about the how the list hasn't changed over the past year. Yeah, that'd be nice.
That's something we can eventually, if we need to, raise to some other level, like Congress.
That may be a good idea to get some of these bigger things done that we want to get done for a long time, to tell you the truth.
Well, our general at Division has actually tasked the asset managers to come up with the wish list, which I'll be putting together before the end of the FY. And he's taking it to D.C. He's taking a giant list of...
Yeah. Oh, he's in charge of the ES, Environmental Storage Fund.
So,
yes.
This actually, the timing is well here, because if you can look at it and agree to what the top 10 is, but there's going to be this giant list, so anything we could add. Basically, he wants
issues
to paint the picture.
That was a good time.
If we had $500 million, this is what we would do. And we need $500 million.
Well, it's a way through. It's a
that
step.
Barely covered.
It's a process. I agree.
All right, let's move on to six. Portland DSM orifices. The 6.1 will cross out because LED lights are going to...
They on the hold.
Yeah. They're not bright enough.
Canceled.
6.2, John Day gate shaft issues. Fredericks and Zindel.
I left you a message, Gary, and I think we agree with you that there is some ways to improve it. I wasn't attending the last F-bomb.
Right.
Bob kind of filled me in on your proposal. I think you wanted the sensors to be changed. Right now, John Deere Mechanical is evaluating options to rather reinforce, make the connection stronger, and we will be probably doing it in the same mode that Bonneville has been addressing theirs. The current connections are obviously not bulletproof because, however, the record has been pretty good overall. The disconnecting used to happen very infrequently, but we want to beef it up and make it even better.
This is an issue that I remember a problem since I was out there working on the river. So we just didn't know whether or not those shafts were attached even to the gate or not. You know, they're open. Looks open. It's great.
Yeah.
But it's not. So let's not let that happen.
Yeah.
Let's
and the good news is that it's durable if we find a method to improve this. Because we have that case and we can work on the orifices in season, year-round, anytime, in water, if we want to, and should happen fairly quickly after they find out what are the steps.
Let's coordinate through Fitterwig.
Yes.
Because it's sort of an engineering issue.
Oh, yeah? So you think?
If we can bring that to Fitterwig and maybe make sure Brad knows if that's an issue, Dennis, if you can...
Mm-hmm. But that's for you guys, I guess.
About the issue about ensuring the gate shaft?
Yeah, just the engineering that goes along. My question, my request is that we develop a method to assure, one way or the other, that those gates are connected to the shafts. So when we look down there and see that shaft open, we know that orifice is actually open. Now either you need a sensor on that thing to tell you that the actual gate is open, or we need to make it so bulletproof it can never fail on us, one or the other. So
does Bonneville have a sensor on the gate?
No, we can see ours.
You can just look at it.
They can see it.
Oh, of course.
They're just right there in front of your face.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, at least on the second, the first is gone. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, if we wanted to change the sensors, I agree with you, Gary, that it needs to be Fitterwig.
Actually, John,
because that may be fairly complicated. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Well, somebody's going to have to come up with something that's not a sensor. You know, we've dealt with underwater sensors.
Yeah, they don't work. We've had problems.
We need a mechanical, something that's showing that the gate is lifted up.
So just an indicator that's welded to the gate itself.
Yeah.
It slides up.
So if it doesn't move, if the gate doesn't move, the shaft does,
then
it stays in place.
Disconnected. Yep.
Something.
Yeah, because this one, you just can't tell.
Right. Well, you can't tell until fish are like, wow, why are those dead fish being whirled around in the gate well?
Well, so that's the basic disadvantage of the entire JBS, John Day. Most of its parts are submerged and inaccessible until winter. The water.
Whose crazy idea was it?
Noah.
I remember building it, but I wasn't involved in the actual design of it.
Yeah.
I actually did see him build it.
That's it.
Okay, Bonneville. Sounds like you guys fabricating.
Oh, same topic.
Yeah.
I don't know. When I was new there, actually, they had fatigue in those. And I talked to the mechanics. They said they've all been replaced real burly, and they're not worried about them anymore.
What were they replaced?
What did they replace?
Yeah.
The connector between the shaft and the gates themselves.
They were stretching. The metal was fatiguing, and they were stretching. So the proximity switches would read the gate as open when it wasn't open, or vice versa. So that was the mechanics' concern: is that this metal is stretching on all the gates.
Since fixed.
Yeah, B2. That was way back when.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah. One thing, I want to jump back to 6.1 real quick, if we have just a few minutes.
Yeah.
The reason this needs to maybe be investigated a little bit further is that, you know, we've got all this information now from our orifice lighting test at McNary that. And, of course, Bonneville. Bonneville has the same type of lighting system that John Day has. And the current lighting, I would suspect that the current lighting that's being provided at John Day is just as crappy as it is at B2 with a light bulb, that you're getting little or no conceivable interceptional light going down those tubes. And so whatever we do at Bonneville, or if we come up with, you know, if we install some type of orifice ring, we know that it improved gate well OPE at McNary.
Right.
And so, look at that. You know, we may look at, they're fairly easy. I mean, it's a ring design that goes right around the orifice inside the gate well. I don't know why we wouldn't, if we're proving a concept at McNary and we're implementing it at Bonneville, why we wouldn't implement it at John Day as well.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, we can discuss that, but I think we have a concept that works. We biologically tested it. There's no reason why we shouldn't do something at John Day to improve that as well.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Dennis, because you made me think now, for the incandescent system at John Day, the orifice tubes are 17 feet long. And because of the heat produced by the current reflectors, you cannot put them closer. They're sitting in the gallery.
Oh, sure.
But with LEDs now, because we did an internal test, mm-hmm. and we took a 17-long pipe, and we measured the illumination at the end with both types, and the LED indeed came out short. But that's because if you position it in the same distance, but if you put it inside the tube, an LED doesn't have nearly as much heat, which that may be doable. I just wanted to mention.
But we're coming up, the concept of putting it right at the orifice inside the gate well is probably...
And that's what we could do.
Yeah, illuminates the... Yeah. And they're embedded. I mean, they would be cut out. They embedded in the wall right in the orifice.
So the LED isn't completely dead yet.
I know that it's not... Bonneville is on a track, you know, to... with our orifice changes and orifice ring, but John Day, you could use the same concept.
Yeah.
You don't need to change the orifice size or anything like that. All it is going in and coring out and putting the inserts in and hooking up the wiring.
And with the long life expectancy of LEDs, you don't really have to worry.
These
you
LEDs.
Can put it deep and they will last.
Yeah. We used metal halide because of the light spectrum at Goose.
Oh, okay.
Change that around in the heat, a lot less heat. So, and I looked at Mid Columbia dams too, and used that recommendation they use.
Oh, okay.
At Goose, so we'll try that bulb out. It's long lived.
Problem is the tubes are so long.
Yeah, maybe the only thing.
You can't shoot enough light down that tube to get it to illuminate anything down at the one end. So I know your guys' are a little bit shorter, but at Bonneville. Short. Crap, it's only 3.5 feet. We couldn't get enough light to even show up at that. I bet you do the same thing up at your snake projects we did at McNary. They all suck.
Okay.
So it's just getting the light source in the gate well right around the orifice is beneficial. And you design an orifice ring. Our design is like when an LED goes out, another one comes on. And so these things, I mean, the life on LEDs are 25 or 30,000 hours each LED. So... these things, once they're in, I think our plan was to go out back after 10 years and replace the ring with another ring because they last so long. But it should be something we should be looking at for John Day if we're going to do
it. Ring might be better.
Because it made a significant difference on OPE. Anything we can do to get those fish out of that gate will faster.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm done.
Anybody have any issues with that?
Gary, in support of John Day?
Yeah. I think that's benefit.
Okay.
Right.
There's
nothing else,
it's
a benefit to O&M.
Right.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to Fish Count website.
Yeah, I think I mentioned a while back we were thinking on separating Lamprey out into kind of its own little thing on the website, just because the one form's getting awful big when we're still putting in the Lamprey LPSs and night counts and all that stuff. So rather than just do it and it show up there for you guys, just wanted to make sure that most of the folks that look at the website are kind of okay with that, having a, basically everything's going to look the same, you're just going to have two buttons, one for salmon, one for lamprey and shad.
Sure.
Okay. Just want to make sure you guys were okay with that.
That's good. Thanks.
Okay.
And just to let you know too, the lamprey LPS counts, they haven't been showing up for a while for a couple of reasons, but one is we got to meet because those counts are probably going to change a little bit. Between NOAA and us, we were getting different numbers, so we got to get a protocol on exactly how those counts are tabulated. Just let you know. We'll work on it.
Those, just looking at the counts for the day and trying to figure out, were those
LPS counts and the window counts, those are additive, I assume.
We don't have it additive yet.
But so, can,
right,
you can.
Right, and that's what our plan will be. We'll have an all lamp rate, which totals everything, and then we'll have whatever we'll call it, lamp rate normal day counts at the fish count windows, the LPS counts, and then night video count. So
right.
we'll add it all up. I mean, that's the goal, but the problem is
okay. Yeah, I just
they don't come in at the same time.
They don't come in at the same time, exactly.
Yeah, the night counts, they go like a week or
right.
Long.
The night four counts days. We have to hand enter too.
Plus you got a lot more columns. So right. You got a separate button. Yeah.
That's another reason we want to break it out.
Yeah.
We'll get there, but we're
I think we're doing good. I think
great.
We're doing good.
Number eight, Bonneville juvenile lamprey mortality. Gary, you wanted to talk about that because of the difference at the JMF and the SMF percentages.
I've got two handouts. It's just I didn't. They're all in color. I didn't print out many, but every other one or something like that. Just make sure some all parts of the table get something to look at. I was looking at the Bonneville small bonfire report the other day and noticed the seasonal lamprey mortality rate for juvenile macrophthalmia lamprey was about 10%. And that kind of caught my eye, so I looked at John Day and noticed that it was only about half a percent. So that seemed a little odd, and I dug in the data a little further and looked at the daily count, or the daily lamprey mortality daily counts at the full monitoring facility, and the mortality, just trying to see what part of the season this was occurring, if it had anything to do with screens in, screens out. And early in the season, we were seeing very high mortality rates. The numbers sampled are fairly low. You know, we're talking 20, 30, 40 fish a day, but it's still pretty good. I mean, it's a decent sample. Mortality rates were running 10-20% for those first few weeks. Then they dropped down. The numbers actually dropped down near zero. Then they bounced back up again in May. And about that time, we pulled the screens. The mortality was high just before the screens came out. Mortality dropped significantly. Well, I shouldn't say it that way because it's a statistical look at it, but quite a bit. I mean, it's apparent that once those screens came out, those the numbers were still high, the numbers of fish were still high, but mortality rates did drop down. So the mortality rates were high early in the season. Debris rates weren't that high early in the season. So, you know, we were thinking it might be debris, but I don't think it is. I think this is just another indicator that the hydraulics in those gate wells, not only bad for sub-yearling Chinook, for spring creek fish, but also for lamprey that are coming through the system. And, you know, this is a really alarming mortality rate. So, you know, I just think it's just more emphasis, more fuel in the fire of getting something done in there, cutting back those units early in the season when these fish are out there. I think it's really important from both salmon and a lamprey standpoint. So just an FYI, just an observation I made as I was digging through the reports. And this graph, I can get more of these out to people, or I can email it out.
Just email it to Tammy. She can touch
it. Yeah, so she can get it out of the color because it doesn't look too black and white. But, I mean, this is something I literally did this morning, just put it together this morning, so I haven't had a chance to really get to care of it. I think the screens, man, they came out at about 28th, is that, of May?
Yeah, 20, mid-20s.
20-something of May, yeah. I just said sort of 28th of May, and then I'm thinking, and you can verify this, the debris levels in March and early April were sort of normal, nothing unusual this year, or were they, because we didn't see our big flows until later in the season.
Yeah, I don't think they were excessive until flows started to get through.
I didn't remember any problems out there until May, and then we really got into the problems.
Right.
So I kind of put on there, I mean, just trying to lay some of the background information, but the details are a little sketchy, so something to look into. I mean, this is really more for the lamprey folks to dig into, but I'm just kind of raising it as a heads-up issue.
It'll be interesting to note, because I know the Corps right now, the FGE team, has several things in place. One is we're moving forward with our parallel track of these slot fillers and testing of the slot fillers. One is the hydraulic testing early in the season. Like, we had P&L come in last year and map the gate well for hydraulics. We're going to have them, once we put the slot filler pieces in, we're going to have them come back in and test that. I think the one thing we could have the project do is we could clean the VVSs, put them down when we do the slot filler tests. We could pull the VVSs back up and look to see if we have any lamprey issues. You know, just see if, shut the unit down, pull the screens up, see if we have an impinged lamprey, if that's...
Because I think Dean said that he didn't see any marks on these fish, they were just dead.
Just dead,
this is sort of that same thing.
So it may be this, you know, this issue about just, you know, turbulence and just dying because of exhaustion. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. If they were up against the screen, you'd see bars on them.
Sure.
I mean, it's hard to see marks on these fish.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good to know.
Just letting you know that I'm looking out for lamprey too.
Yes,
we know you care.
Very good. Duly noted.
Hey, did you want to hear about the...
too bad, actually.
You're not calling them.
Yeah, really.
Did you want to hear about the screen cleaning out and the snake over there?
Cooling water
cleaning? You bring that up.
He can look in the web.
We passed right over that.
Just as many lamprey were getting up into the gate well as with the screens in, or whether the screens were out?
There were good numbers with screens out. They did drop off dramatically at that point, but then they normally do, so I don't know how much that had to do with
they still had decent screens
out.
That's surprising.
It does. Yearlings and some, and salmon were doing the same thing.
Yeah,
we were watching salmon getting up full of them.
The one thing you didn't take out is we have the gap closure device still in place.
Yeah.
So that, even without the turning vein in and the screen in,
that
you still have some water being forced up the slot, more than you would normally see.
Oh, you took the turning vein out too?
But the
turning vein is on the top of the screen.
Much less turning
vein. Okay.
Yeah. So that gap closure device may force a little bit.
Some up there.
But, I mean, you know, you think these lamprey, they're traveling lower in the water column. Mm-hmm. How do they get all the way?
That's
what I'm amazing.
I gave away my copy, but there were still some, I think, after the screens. But I didn't have the exact date. Just going from memory, I thought it was maybe the 28th. Might have been the 25th.
19th.
Yeah. They started on the
19th.
Oh, okay.
The 19th. So
and ended on the 26th.
You had some of the bigger sample days after you were pulling screens.
Yeah.
After you pulled.
We don't really know if they travel lower, do we?
I don't think we know, but, I mean, substrate is on the bottom. You think
depending
they
on the rough size, because I know that.
Yeah. Well, and also lamprey, they travel deeper, but they're...
But that's below.
Well, I mean, you got high floods, they're going to get just come all over the river, so there's going to be throughout the whole water column.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Good to know, Gary.
Yeah.
Thanks. Awesome.
All right. Fish lock at the Dalles. Testing number 9.
This is kind of a combo Fitterwick F-pond.
When was the last time that was tested?
The fish lock?
Yeah.
Well, it was flushed.
Last year.
Randy Lee
and those guys went up and
did a flush. The project engineer has actually been doing all the work on it and coordinating. And that's part of this, actually. They did a flush, but they weren't able to open all the valves in the fish lock. This has to do with the East Fish Ladder backup water study. And so the idea is fish lock can give us some water, and that's what
Dave Statler
has left the conference.
To see how much water we can get out of the fish lock. They weren't able to open or get water out of all of the piping because it's plugged. So one of the things they need to do is go in and clean out some of those pipes. And so we're trying to figure out the plan for that now, to get a contractor in there and Roto-Rooter the pipes. But to do that, it's...
How big are the pipes?
There's a bunch of 18-inchers.
Wow.
There was a 48 and a 36, and the 48 was good. Anything, the 36 we could, if I remember right. And then there's a bunch of 8-inchers. But anyways, we need to go in and clean that out. And so a lot of this debris is going to be mucked out, and the question is, can that go into the cul-de-sac, and does that have to be during the in-water work period? Is that like an in-water work period issue? We don't know. He's doing those calcs right now to figure out how much could be in those pipes. We don't know for sure. So, yeah.
What's the debris made of? Is it just mud?
Mud.
Curvicula?
Mud. And on the environmental side, I know we're looking into whether or not that can even go back to the river. I think there's some regs that say that you got to look at it, make sure it's clean. Clean mud.
Right.
It's clean mud.
It has some radioactivity in it or something. But, so that's what we're looking at right now, and most of this work will probably be done in November. So is that something that would have to be an in-water work period issue? And secondly, is this something that can go to the cul-de-sac at all?
Well, I think their environmental resource specialist will make that decision on where you can put that. As far as the timing, November, that's would the impact being the cul-de-sac.
Yeah, I mean, how many cubic yards?
Yeah, a couple of, so I guess we'll have to just bring this back when we find out what the quantity is.
It could be a ton. That could be pretty turbulent.
Yeah.
There's turbidity in that area quite a bit, although it's probably not going to be a big issue for sand.
Is it difficult to access and take it up and put it in a truck, run it off-site?
Oh, gosh.
That would be difficult.
Yeah.
It's not like impossible.
Mm-hmm. I'll flush it at night.
Flush it at night.
Yeah. Flush it at night?
I mean, if it turns out, it has to
come out. I don't think it'll flush out of that cul-de-sac very well. I mean, that's the problem, is you'll just sit there and it'll ooze out as water moves through there, which I suppose there's some...
Yeah, they did some flushing already, and quite a bit.
Through the non-overflow section. That was the old tailway, so I'm sure that's somewhat...
When they did the test before, quite a bit of mud did come out.
Yeah.
But this could be a lot more.
I wouldn't be too worried about it unless it had hydrocarbons in it. I mean, if you had problems with it or something, buckets of tarp.
Why would it have?
I just don't know what's in there. I'm surprised that it actually did flush out when you ran the test.
You would think it would have gone right out, but it
must be some big stuff.
It must be pretty solid. It's been settling for a long time.
Who knows what's in it?
Maybe it's been building up over time. It's been flooding and settling.
So
I think it's just made a plug.
Yeah.
You know, concrete.
As long as there's nothing in there that's toxic or that would cause fish to reject the area, I don't know. Just plain river mud wouldn't do that, but if there were hydrocarbons, if somebody had been, who knows, it's an old dilapidated system.
Yeah. Just PCBs.
Stuff may have been 50 years ago, something could have been thrown in there that we don't know about.
Yeah, and not only that, I mean, just the accumulation of what's going to come down the river will be in the sediment. I mean, that's, I know when they're dredging, there was talk years back about using dredge spoils to... build riparian, but then the big issue was what's in it, so you got to sample it first.
Evacuated the Hanford Reach area for a year not too long ago. I mean,
So,
well, once you get that sample, then we'll bring you back that pump and your calcs.
So, are they going to do any sampling?
Okay, so from the that's what I need to find out from our environmental guy. Now, his initial reaction was, well, it's from the river, so it can go back to the river, but
I think he's
a new guy.
It's our environmental resource specialist.
I think he's
new.
Doing all that uranium.
He found the barrel in the river.
He's never worked with a lot of them, has he?
That's the whole.
It was in the
West
river.
West Virginia, they like to blow off the hills, the tops of hills. And then they put all the spoils down along the riverbanks. And they say, well, it just came from the inside of the mountain. Why can't it go down there on the riverbank?
But, he's reconsidering that now. So,
Does he play a banjo?
So let's get the calcs and the tests and then make that decision.
It's probably generally pretty minor, depending on how much debris you have and composition. If it's benign,
so if it's an okay from the environmental side, then we'll need to deal, or we'll need to make a decision from the fish side.
Well, the calculation on quantity.
I certainly wouldn't do it in the middle of
quantity and
peak of the fall Chinook run. I wouldn't do that.
No. Quantity and timing.
Yeah. Talking October.
November. Okay.
accidentally caught it.
Exactly.
Okay, so on the timing, we're resolved. November would be okay.
The tail end of condit removal. Okay.
Condit November?
It's October.
December?
October.
It'll be October between storm events.
That's going to be a bunch of
between storm events. Yeah.
They took me.
Yeah, I'm putting your finger there.
Yeah, I got our weatherman on.
You can listen to that environmental specialist you got there, too.
No, that was from PacifiCorp.
Oh, yeah.
It's very sunny.
All right, let's go to Goose. What's SW?
Spillway Weir.
Spillway Weir Op?
Operations, of course. We did the coordination to remove the spillway weir from low to high the last week of July, and it's done, and you know, it's had some interesting results over the year, and you know, there's talk about when spill is greater than 30% at the project, the number of fish, the Chinook that were left behind, and notice that the Chinook changed increased after the spill decreased back down to 30% about two or three times during the year, Bill. So they want to look into that too. But overall, the procedure that you know the team did last winter to reduce fish passage problems at Little Goose was pretty good. But one note that Sean Milligan did say that maybe we left the spillway weir in just a little bit too long. That key point there, 85 KCFS, may have not have been the right level we should have moved it at. It should have been maybe a little bit higher. That was his only big comment back about that thing. To remove the spillway weir, you know, in the past 2 years, we moved it mid-August or the first part of August, but according to the STP this year, with the forecast of flows, it's supposed to be at, 33? It looks like it'd be 33K somewhere right around the 5th of September, which is way past spill season. So maybe it will stay in position high until the end of the spill position, until the end of the 31st, midnight 31st. If not, we'll talk.
Okay,
Bill? Yeah. But I hope with the I didn't go to the Fitterweg last week. I was on leave last week. But I hope this.
Well, we talked about adult passage.
Yeah, and I hope that's going
to
continue.
That's where we decided we needed probably an ERDC work on the model a little bit in the winter and a follow up with a study.
But all together, they did pretty good this year in design because of flows and stuff.
So. There were surprising outcomes with adult passage.
Right.
Like we discussed it when we shut down the whole powerhouse.
Right.
Adults, you know, that would have been the worst situation possible, but adults kept passing.
Yeah, that was really a surprise when we shut down the powerhouse entirely.
Yeah. All righty.
I made a statement, we don't know everything yet.
Yeah.
Very little.
All right, next was Granite Powerhouse Op. Adult fish trap.
Yeah.
Speaking of shutting down a powerhouse again, this first one, number 11, is about the coordination report we gave out Monday. Bill wanted to talk about it today, but then steps forward right now are trying to get a BPA crew available to get this work completed, and it's scheduled now to be completed around the 22nd of August this year, of course, this month. That's when they'll start doing this work again. But until then, well, we'll have units 5 and 6 available because that's running off of another transformer. Units 1 through 4, since this isophase bus ring problem, oil leakage, which is the same problem that Little Goose had earlier this year, is not going to be back online, I don't think. They're going to try, they're not for sure if it's going to be back online until the 22nd. Flows in the river right now around 40K. We're still doing the FOP, port ordered spill, right to that amount, if not more, but we're only using one unit right now at the time, so it's running. The only thing is, instead of unit priority, number 1 is in place, instead it's number 5. That's the only thing. So this may may not affect fish passage, adult fish passage. We're looking into it. I'm looking at it on a daily basis, and it looks like, according to the Fish Count Web, it doesn't look like it's too hampered right now at this time, Bill. So I'm keeping an eyeball on it, but, you know, there's not much we can do about it. T1's out right now.
Yeah.
T1 is out.
And you think by August 22nd?
We should have contract in place. We should have people in place, everything in place for them to start working on that.
Hey, Greg.
Yes.
I mean, 20 seconds when they're going to be a cruise to be able to come and help you guys start working on it, not finish the work.
Start the work, right. That's the day. And it's going to take, what, about 7 days? Judging from what happened at Little Goose.
Great. And then you'll probably need a full power outage again.
Yeah.
Back online,
so that will happen.
Okay.
That's the good news.
Tom's comment on it was the sooner you get it done,
the better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like they're...
And the thing is, the option was also to do it back in October, you know, run T1 and do it in October.
No.
I want to get it done before the steelhead season starts.
Yeah.
I prefer to get it done, let's say that. And so that's what we're going for, the 22nd. That's when we started.
All right, adult fish trap. What up?
The adult fish trap operation for fall this year. Nez Perce tribe has sent me a letter requesting access to the trap again. The Corps responded with a letter permit back to them contingent upon the renewal of their permit, NOAA's permit number 1530, which is still linked to this ongoing hatchery operations. But as soon as that thing is in place, Nez Perce Tribe will present it, and we will do the fish trapping there at that location. That's our contingency letter on it. So far, the state of Washington, Lyons Ferry, has not send a letter in. They said they will, but you know, requesting access to the fish trap, but I have not seen it yet. Generally, their trapping starts around the 20th of August and continues until they get their allotment. And usually that's down around the first part of November. So we'll see what NOAA does. Yeah, exactly.
All right, thanks. You're still up for Dvorak fish salvage. You did a test.
We went out. Well, you saw where our test was last year. You've heard of our test.
Well, you at the last F-bomb, you guys were going to do some kind of a mock salvage. And then
the Monday, right after F-bomb, we went up to Dvorak to actually go through the procedures and this new plan. And we made a few little changes, refinements in the operation right on ground there. We walked through the whole procedure and went through some ideas to go on this thing. I think we've really got things settled out to where there will be a good chance that it should not be a problem. We're scheduled for the 26th of September to do the salvage of the draft too. And that's about the soonest I think the district has got scheduled where the pool's going to be low enough and water conditions are redone. That's about the soonest we can get into that thing, instead of in November like we did last year. One of the questions the OPM asked me about that is, you know, how can we eliminate these fish since this is an entirely different setup than the run of the river dams? And I don't know if it's possible or not, if we can get some sort of electric fence, an electric fence, something like that around the draft who's installed this year, but we won't see the results for another 3 years, you know, because this is on a triennial basis, around the draft tubes to prevent fish from going in there after they put the head gate in. And then and as soon as they have confirmed that the head gate seal is done, you know, this is after they spin the unit. That's the procedure. They got to spin the unit, put the gate in, and then as soon as they confirm that the seal is done, they can go ahead and put in the tail race logs. And Now, one thing about this, yes, they are going on a lot faster basis. Instead of 3 days like last year, they're going on within hours right after putting that in. But the point is, the push of water out through the draft tube, and is that going to attract fish into the unit? That's my big question. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, cranes only operate so fast. Mm-hmm. Stop lugs go down so fast. I mean, they're not... It's not a fast job. And so the question is, how are we going to keep those fish out? So the thought was, is after you, you know, do a draft tube spin, turn on an electric fence of some sorts. You know, maybe somewhere on the periphery of the channel. I don't know.
A fish zapper.
You know, they hit it, they back out.
Biomark makes one of those.
What's that?
Biomark makes one of those.
Biomark makes something like that?
Yeah, they keep at Eagle Creek Fish Hatchery, they have it out there to keep the spring chinook from going above the hatchery.
Wow.
And so as they approach it, they feel the field. You can change the settings and everything, and they just back off. But little fish can go through it because they have less surface area, so they can still travel.
Yeah, yeah, it would get the larger surface area fish. Yeah.
These have been around for a long time.
Well, see, that's something that we're thinking about. The problem is the only time you can install that probably is when the draft tube is evacuated entirely, we're thinking. And it's installed inside, just behind the bulkhead, on the inside of the draft tube, right around that, you know, I guess that's how they're installed, something like that.
And then you're going to operate it only once every 3 years.
And we're operating it once every 3 years.
It won't last.
That's the thing.
It won't last.
Okay, that won't matter.
Unless you want to bury your probes in the concrete there, and even then.
Yeah. What you almost need to do is you need to design something that goes down the bulkhead slot. So when you stick, you don't want to stick the bulkheads in, you stick something in as a barrier until you can get the bulkheads down.
Yeah, but the difference is, what he's talking is graduated electric field over 10 or 12 feet. That's why you get a...
Put it downstream your bulkhead slot.
But you do, then you're talking like a fish short. Pretty short, you will talk a brutal
zap.
It is a bug, you know, the graduated electric field like you see at the barrier dams are, they get into it, and they can feel it, and they keep moving, and it gets stronger and stronger until it tetanizes, but they give them the option, or they turn sideways, they don't take a full shot.
Yeah.
What you're talking in a bulkhead slot is either full shot or nothing.
It's a bug zap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Yeah, but I mean, you talk about, you know, you generated a field that went on what is enough.
You could design the field maybe in a certain way.
It's going to be stronger. It's not going to be constant across
the... I don't know. The other thing is you get away from an electric field and you put a barrier down.
Yeah, that's the...
You design something where you run the unit hard, you drop a big barrier down, and then just drop your tail logs in. They're usually in segments. Mm-hmm.
But you know, the head gates first.
Yeah, because this is I had. No.
They have a penstock.
It's a penstock.
It's all penstock.
So these are the way they can do it. They got a head gate first and let it all drain down.
No. That's the problem. That was the problem last year. As soon as they put in that, they let it set.
The fish could swim in.
A barrier fence downstream was another idea because. You know, to eliminate most fish from going through there, some sort of a fish weir. Of course, that's going to take time and money to construct that. But we're at a terminal fishery right now, anyway. So those are the two thoughts that we had.
We want the same thing for Bonneville. I mean, we do for the draft tubes. Mm-hmm. It's just if we can keep them out of there.
Mm-hmm. And you guys do tail logs first, right?
Yep, the tail lugs are only, 12 feet high?
There's three
of them, so.
Yeah, these are about that tall, too.
It's pretty fast. Okay.
But, you know, like I said, this is a penstock that the collection's up there at 1,000-foot elevation.
Yeah. Right. Problem you have, you don't have sturgeon up there.
No.
You know, Bonneville is more, you know, sturgeon, so getting that bottom tail log in the fastest is our concern. But you've got steelhead, and they're spread out through the water column.
Yeah,
so
right.
You need something that's full barrier fast, not just, yeah. So.
Put a barrier rack downstream.
That's a barrier rack.
Yeah, it's something below that. Below the.
What's the discharge?
Hey, Greg, do you have enough bodies to do this?
Yeah, we're going to be bringing in some people from Lower Granite. 15,
20. Oh, 15.
And also project personnel will be doing it, too.
I'm sure something can be designed.
20,000
it's just not going to be quick.
Right.
So,
Yeah, I mean, immediate future, it's not going to be here, but in the future, yes.
Yeah. I mean, I could see something that's on a frame, and then as soon as the frame's in, you could lower down like a, you know, a weighted net or something that, you know, something quickly deployed.
Well, they have barriers in front of the dams in California. Mm-hmm. Of some sorts, and so they do have that type of information available.
Well, that's a possibility. I mean, that's
right.
So, are you guys going to get a team together to look at this? Fitterwig or what?
Barrier down there. The NOAA's position on the graduated electric barriers are not to be used as a standalone option. They can be used to augment a physical barrier as a rack or as a.
They're not supposed to be used as a primary.
It's not 100% effective either. Yeah. Not. To get through, especially giants or something.
So
well, it might be a little bit better than having nothing.
Right.
You either need a barrier dam or an overflow or a barrier rack.
A rack.
And there you're looking at, depending on how much flow you put out it during that time, is, you know, if you're saying 20,000 square feet, it's, or 20,000 CFS, you're looking at a rack that's 20,000 square feet. Basically a fine trash rack.
Yeah, it's a fine trash rack. A very fine
one. 1-inch opening, just like
I think these. This guy had something like that up in the Yakima River or something like that.
Oh, we got them all over the place.
All over the place, that's why. He was suggesting something like that.
We just constructed one down on North Umpqua that's for 1,800 CFS, and we're building another one down there.
Okay.
Barrier systems.
Barrier rack. Okay. Well, we can look into that.
Something to see what the discharge is. You know, do you want it in place all the time, or just when you start?
Well,
you're getting ready on water.
Yeah.
It's just right before you.
You won't
on
have
water.
Much debris issues there.
Okay.
You won't. I mean, I asked that same question because they plan on having it just basically downstream of the, a short distance down below. There's a guide wall out and just basically right there in the tail water.
So you're not passing debris through the units?
No.
Yeah, but you never know how much debris you do until you put a screen or a barrier rack in there.
There's crap going through there.
No project in the world have I ever said the operator says, we got terrible debris.
I'd make it
here,
just deployable right before you're ready to unscrew
it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh!
Indeed. Mm-hmm. You do learn.
Are you going to like put together like a little task force or a PDT to help tease this one out?
We're looking into it, yes.
Yeah.
I don't know if the OPM has gone that far into it yet or not. But
well,
yes,
you don't have a lot of time.
No.
Well,
this year there's not going to be much done on that sort of a barrier idea.
But you're still going to have to dewater, right?
Oh, yeah, we're still going to dewater.
We have a plan.
And
the plan has been reviewed by our law enforcement as well as us and this committee.
Right.
I mean, it has a fairly high visibility and a high level.
Absolutely.
So any changes to what's already been agreed to need to be vetted, fully vetted with all the people involved. So if you're anticipating changes to the plan that's in the Fish Passage Plan, we'd know that soon.
Okay.
And we need to work through those issues, those changes, if there are.
Well, I can send out the newest and greatest thing tomorrow.
Okay, we'll have to review that. May have to, I don't know how far that has to go with it.
It's basically, I think, us carrying tanks or something like that, or
the actual. Not a big deal.
Yeah, right. There's not
any
big
of the
deal changes.
Big changes in terms of timing.
No,
there's date changes or in terms of how we're
going
to handle fish.
Yeah, maybe handling fish.
Okay,
to get them out
there
faster.
Because that was part of the plan.
Right.
So there's changes, though. I'm saying, is any changes? This was pretty high priority or high visibility issue. You know, we had a lot of people involved. Yeah,
a lot of people.
Generals and law enforcement, NOAA,
and Department of Justice too.
Department of Justice and everybody's on this. So just to say, it's just it's not just a simple change. Everybody needs to agree to it.
Yeah.
So you can do that tomorrow.
Send
that out.
I'll send that out.
Okay.
That's
great. We'll review it.
All right, that leads us to 13, task group updates. The first one is FFU avian observations. Nathan is not here. You have anything?
No, he's got some handouts for you guys. It's basically the last status report.
There's also an inland avian predation meeting next week at the Dalles on the 16th, FYI. think it's 1300 to 1500 yep. Westford room. Agenda came out yesterday. If you haven't gotten it, get a hold of me. I'll send it to you. Forging goal numbers.
One point you wanted to just make sure you guys are aware of is that these are going to be fish consumption estimates this year. Because we did do a stomach content analysis, so the figures will be a little bit different and not quite as comparable with smolt. But anyway, we'll be working on the report. I think most of you guys know how much gull activity or consumption this year overall.
I see a lot of activity there below either those dams.
No. And it was below the lines, you know, again, for the most part. Yeah. Folks did a good job.
Kind of helped to have 300K spill.
Yeah. Made a little hard. All those guys to find fish, yeah.
Yeah. On the Dell graph, I wanted to point out there was a huge spike you see right towards the end of the season. Right.
25th of July
or
something.
The teasers went to service the boat. Mm. The boat wasn't out there.
Is it both those days? It looks like there's like two kind of spiky days. Is that, did they do it just one day or 2 days?
I thought there was just one.
Oh, okay.
Also, like you guys extended the schedule.
Yeah, with that information and knowing that there's still a lot of subs in the river coming down, everything seems to be a little late this year, we extended the hazing season 2 weeks.
Excellent.
But they just sat out there and played solitaire because there's no birds.
Well, yeah, but that was prudent thing
but
to do, because you never know.
Right, the boat being there. And
maybe just anchoring a boat out there is all I need.
couple guys stuffed with straw and some guns.
What goes on with California gulls is that they all enter the ocean after a big ledge. They pick up and
snack time.
They go to the ocean. They go offshore, actually. You have to go out few miles to see them. But that's their behavior. So
that's probably why we see a Bonneville. We've been just seeing these huge flocks just going over.
They're just going. They're going out to the ocean. So that's their behavior. Yep. You won't see
that's
them. Doesn't matter what you're doing. I mean, they're just going on. They've got a new agenda at that point.
I was hoping their feet not turn.
Leave that
to you guys bring t-shirts for everybody?
Yeah. Oh, your special ones.
I like those.
What is
it? McNary.
Does Tom have one?
Come on, Tom have one?
He doesn't know.
Okay.
He's still waiting for the
shirt. He hasn't earned his... Okay.
That's good.
I'm going to talk AFF mods after. So we don't have to do that now.
Jonas. These guys are showing up.
Yeah, no, but there's an AFF task meeting after this, right? Okay. We'll just talk then. We're almost done. The next update's the AFF, but we're going to have a meeting after, so we'll just move on to sturgeon. Looks like we're having a group meeting on September. So it's out. September FPOM sounds like it's not a problem. Everybody's going to be here except for a few. Tammy and Trevor.
I will be here.
You're going to make it back.
I will be here.
All right, she says it. She says she will be here. So yeah, we can just do that task group after that meeting. Got one change form. Bonneville AFF fish over 100 centimeters. Appendix G001. Who says that? John's. Perfect timing. So, let's see. Fish greater than 100 centimeters length will not be diverted into the tank. These fish will be allowed to return to the ladder untouched.
And the change is?
Remove 1.13 completely. Because you have a new tank.
Yes.
So you increase the size by 7 inches, right?
6 inches wider.
You missed it by an inch. I think it does depend on acceptance on the tank. I and I don't, if folks are okay with the tank, then yeah, it's automatic.
Then it goes back to my question, if that would allow Washington to handle larger fish in that smaller tank.
No, still.
Okay. So it'll come to them, but those have to reject the fish by hand.
What's going on down there?
Gary's like got a bomb strapped to his wrist.
So are we going to accept this change for now and see how it goes, or maybe not?
Do you want to wait until after we at the task group meeting?
You guys good with, I guess on this project, are you good with the tank? I think it has to, it depends on acceptance of the tank.
Right.
That's obvious. If the tank is okay, then it's the size is right, and we're done. End of story. But mm-hmm. I haven't seen a tank. So I've been hearing hearsay. Yeah.
I think the tank's big enough.
I've been hearing that it looks like it's
probably, you probably put 400 centimeter.
That's what I heard.
You wouldn't be able to reach them, but.
You probably put 400 centimeters or something.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that. I'm more worried about other issues I've heard about. Okay, good.
I mean, the tank is big enough to handle the bigger fish.
Okay.
Yes.
That's good.
We'll talk about the actual AFF meeting. We'll talk about some of the issues that.
Okay.
So let's wait on acceptance until after the AFF test group.
Well, all I'm saying is that if the tank's okay, then
the tank is big enough. Right. I mean, but we have some, what's the long-term plan with the net and the shelf and the ruler and the lid or whatever?
I've only heard. I haven't seen, so I don't know. That needs to be spelled out more.
Okay.
Specifically, if there's some issues that need to be addressed with that.
So we'll talk about that after the meeting.
Okay.
In the AFF meeting.
Okay.
Greg, you've got to add something. You just said you have a McNary add to the agenda you want to talk about.
Yes, I just received some information.
Now what have you done?
Silence.
That doesn't sound good. With a big pause.
McNary.
not McNary.
We've already approved. No, McNary. They plan on doing this NERC-WEC testing. Which I've talked to Gary and Bill about at McNary and also at Little Goose. And what it does involve is running the unit through its range of operation stuff, including below and above 1%. And we've got it somewhat tentatively approved to run the last part of this month at those locations.
Projected.
We were originally going to be doing it at nighttime, but now I asked, can we do it from 2 o'clock to 10 o'clock? And that's the time of the day we got it scheduled to do now. The only problem now is this 30-minute testing that's required to be done by NERC-WEC. It has significantly changed, and they're looking now at 4 hours at McNary and 3 hours at Little Goose.
Each turbine.
The two turbine units, yes, both units. And it's got to be done in order to certify these units.
It went from 30 minutes to 4 hours.
It went from 30 minutes to 4 hours at McNary. 3 hours at Little Goose. I don't know the reason why. But that is the test that they need to perform on those units.
So what's the test?
It's a NERC-WEC.
Yeah, but I mean, do they they run it inside the 1%, and then there's certain percentage where they go outside what gate limit, turbine unit operating limit.
I don't know the particulars. The upper end. I couldn't.
I'm sure they drive it to almost to cavitation.
Mm-hmm.
What they want to do is they're measuring unit load output at that upper end and certify that that it can, and then bring it back down in. I'm sure they're, I don't know, I'll have to find out if they do this in the lower projects. If they're doing it, they're doing it at Bonneville or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's a limited period of time they do it.
Right. And I mean, what I understood in the past, it was only going to be for about 30 minutes.
Yeah, why do they need to do it so long, Greg?
Well, that's the emergency call I just got in. I said, yeah. Oh, gosh.
Well, great. It's really got it. What they do, they run the unit up, and they run it hard, and they keep it heated up. And so you've got to know, you've got to sort of, I wouldn't want to run a unit for half an hour and said, oh, yeah, fine, we can run it, you know, at its highest load for a half hour, and it's certified. I think that there's a WECNR compliance that you've got to run them at a higher level for probably longer periods of time.
They never run up that high end.
Huh?
They never run up that high end anyway.
Only outside of the period they can, or if you get into a flood event.
You would never run the cavitation anyway.
Huh?
You would never run the cavitation.
No. No, but they have to be...
16.4 or so is about 90 megawatts. Yeah. Okay, so when?
I believe the McNary one's about, McNary and Goose is going to be about the 22nd, the week of the 22nd. I don't have the coordination form on top of me on this thing. It's going to be another week or two at McNary.
And it's just two units?
Just the two units, 5 and 6, I believe. That's the only two.
And they're both
going to
run 4 hours at this upper end?
Right.
And 4 hours at a lower end? Four hours for the whole test.
It looks like it's 4 hours with outside of the 1% criteria.
Who's the chief of ops, the one that's requesting it? Who's requesting it?
Yeah, it's basically the chief technician chief.
Oh, okay. Well, if they could just give you a better, I think Gary would feel a little bit better. You just tell him
where. This is Nathan, Fishfield unit.
Where they're running it.
Has joined the conference.
If they just give you some bounds on Q, Gary, you know, Gary knows enough about turbines to say, okay, well, he feels comfortable.
Well, the issue is the gate well at McNary.
Yeah.
We know we have issues with the fish passage through those gate wells when we get above 12, 13 K through the unit. So 12.4 or whatever thereabouts is the limit right now for the upper 1%. They're talking about going up to 17 probably, or 17.
Yeah.
Something. So that's a lot over for 4 hours. So you get a gate wall turbulence. I mean, I'm not so worried about the unit itself. No, I'm not worried about going past the unit.
No, it's a gate.
Unless you actually truly cavitate. I would hope you didn't do that.
No. They don't want to damage.
Stay away from that. But you will increase gate well turbulence dramatically in this period of time.
That would be a problem for sure, too.
If they want to do it for 4 hours, I would think we could pick a better window.
Yeah, like you can extend that. Yeah, yeah, no problem. See, I was thinking 30 minutes, okay, we can live with that. But now four hours? Let's pull the screen. Let's have them pull the screens of that unit.
Or do it in the winter when there's not enough fish or anything.
Yeah.
Greg, is it 3 unit or just 1 unit?
Well, I suppose they're testing 2 units. So
I thought it's in 5 and 6.
It was 5 and 6.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that changes efficiency on the unit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Screens in or out. It changes how flow comes into the unit. It does change things. But
it sounds like Ben says at Bonneville it was shorter. It was. The test may take 4 hours to do the test, but what they're doing is they're putting the unit. It's not like running them at the upper end of, you know, outside the 1% for 4 hours.
Right.
It's like a 4 hour test window. It'd just be better if they just told you what you're going to do. So, I mean, they're probably going to run the thing through its whole gamut of range. It may take 4 hours to do that under a testing condition, but
1 hour outside.
Of 1 hour maybe on the outskirts of it. And I think we've got enough data to tell us when would be a better period of time to do that.
When there's less fish. Fish season, that'd be the best. Pretty obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Why do we have to do it during the fish season? They're still spilling.
They're still spilling.
Fish season.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I understand, too, the issues associated with WECNR. I mean, those guys, you know, this is a national policy.
I think scheduling those crews in, or a nationwide crews in.
Yeah.
I think that's an issue there. Mm-hmm. They're scheduled to be there, of course, McNary, that time of the year, that's when they could get them. The schedule of those units have to be certified by the end of this year, or else they can't run them at all.
Why just those two units?
Well, all units are being tested.
Oh, so this is going to be ongoing?
Yeah, it's going to be ongoing.
For how long? Is this for the year? They've already done some outside of
two those? Units at the time.
They did some last year.
You're in.
They did a couple of units last year. Now they're doing, you know, a couple
well, I guess,
more this year.
You know, they shouldn't be doing this during the fish passage season, number one. They just shouldn't be doing it. They got a lot of months outside of that they can plan this. So, September. Mm-hmm. Wait 3 weeks. And you're outside the fish passage, the bulk of it.
The bulk of it.
Is our most sensitive time, as you can judge, is going to spill through the season. So, mm-hmm. If they were outside the spill season, on the other hand, a lot of spill is going on, a lot of fish are going to the spillway. So, you're sending fewer fish to the powerhouse. So, that's the other flip side of it, is it may be better, you know, late in August when there aren't that many fish passing and you've got spill going on.
So, if we did pick a 4-hour window, it would probably be late afternoon.
So that's why we went to the afternoon shot at it.
And just do it three times higher passage.
Yeah. So maybe you can give, you know, say when that 4-hour window is going to be, and maybe just a few better tidbits on what they're going to do. And some of these guys would probably feel a little bit better about
it. And you'll be outside of 1%.
It was Ed's idea. You know, we'll blame him. Just bump up double spill a little goose for those 4 hours. So you have very few fish going to the powerhouse. Thanks, Ed.
Ed Meyer, NOAA Fisheries suggests
double spill at
LGS. Mary Delwing, that would be something like that. Yeah.
Basically, you're trying to keep fish out of the away from that turbine.
Yeah, we'll do what we can to do that.
I'm sure it's the same.
McNary.
So, are you going to be able to go get on the call here and get some more information and bring it back so we can make a decision? Or
I don't have his telephone number on me right now. No.
Hey, Greg.
Yeah.
You also find out if you do this every year for the next 20 years.
Yeah, 20 years. That's a good point, too.
And then schedule it outside the fish passage season. I don't care how long those guys can come here. Just
so the first question is, can you delay it until the
September.
End of the month?
Why not winter? There's nothing running.
And then,
well, Gary said after September.
Well,
yeah, but if you have your choice, maybe this year's not
this year.
Delayed. But
this year's delayed. There's contractual, there's money allotment.
Outside the fish passage. Yeah. Schedule these guys. We've got this 3-month window or whatnot that you guys can do what you want with.
So you need to get some more.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
that's the thing. Okay, well, I'll come back with.
Pretty much have the same number of fish.
With that.
Home?
That's not going to be. Yeah. So
send that thing out tomorrow.
All right, so he's going to get some more information, and we'll get it out, because we can't make a decision right now.
They want to be here in August.
They want to be down.
Yeah, we're going to schedule a little nation. Like, hey, we want to be there in August.
Okay, I've got a couple other add-ons here to deal with.
So what was the final?
We got to get some more information.
We need some more information, Gary.
See if we can postpone it. How much can we postpone it?
Right.
How much is going to be out of 1%? That kind of stuff.
Time. Yeah. Okay. And then annually, if it's going to be year after year.
Yeah, and then find out what the schedule
is.
That's
what got me thinking. You know, we need to push back right now, so get the message that this is a bad thing.
Okay, my other add-on was John Day Gatewell mortality from the springtime. Gary asked me to put that on there. Is there an MFR? It's actually posted to the website.
Has it been sent out to...
I don't know if it was sent out or not.
It was sent, though I can't prove that because I delete all my email messages after the last administrative record I had to go through.
Tammy said she sent it out, but she can't prove it because she deletes all of her emails, so she doesn't have an admin record.
So she really didn't do it.
But it's posted to the website. We can send it out again. There was an investigation that the colonel ordered, but I'm not allowed to have the data from that. I asked for it, and they're like, sorry, it's only for the colonel. If the colonel decided he wanted to do what he did with it, was his decision. I don't know what he did with it.
So that's the end of it?
I don't know. I can ask our chief of ops if he got a report. Do you know anything? Did you get any kind of report?
No.
So there's the MFR at the website, and then an investigation that I might not be able to even get my hands on. But I'll check with our chief of ops.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Number 20 was Powerhouse 2 priority for Ben. Did you already take care of that?
We did, yep.
Line 6 outage at the Dalles.
Oh, yeah, update on that. So you remember a while back we had to coordinate the Powerhouse roof rehab, and so they had to take Line 6 out, which included Unit 18, which is a priority unit, and that basically moved it to Unit 16. And so we're doing that, and we looked at velocities in front of the Powerhouse, the jet from the east fishway entrance, and it's good all the way across to Unit 16. It's pretty solid.
Okay.
It's, in fact, I got the... I mean, we were seeing between 2.2 to 3 foot a second all the way across the Powerhouse to Unit 16. So
you watch your fish passage?
And yeah, we looked at the counts and nothing abnormal. So I think we're all right.
Okay. And we already talked about that. Wraps it up until...
You may want to put that in a memo if we have to take out 18 again.
Well, yeah, it wouldn't be bad to capture that.
Yeah. That the option of running 16 instead of 18 is a seems to work.
So can we get that that data to put in the meeting minutes as well? Here.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Capture it somehow.
I think that's everything on the agenda for the day. We'll take a break and then have our AFF meeting.
Good. Next meeting is still the same?
Yeah, the next meeting in September will be...
Our participant has left the conference.
September 8th is our next meeting here. And...
What's
that?
I was just reading potential change forums that... 15.5 include flows, phase of the moon, star alignment.
That's what I heard from the meeting was you wanted to include phase of the moon and star alignment. So I just thought I'd put that in
there. Are you closing this, Ben?
Not
star alignment. Okay. So you gotta skip over those?
Well, you wanna go over them?
There are no change forms, those are potential ones.
Potential.
So whoever is going to be developing that. I just keep that list of things that
they're just kinda heads up what's coming. Star alignment.
Yeah, your chair.
Alright, well thanks everybody. That was on the phone. We're gonna have an AFF meeting in a half hour probably. So we get something to eat. We can just go up to the buffet table.
Participants.
Do not throw away your green, silver.
All right, goodbye, folks. I'm calling back in.
All right, thanks.
Bye, bye, guys.
Was that?
Techno.
Russell.
That was declined.
Our participant has left the conference.
Techno challenge. High noon, okay? Half hour break.
Our participant has left the conference.
You got some pictures?
Mm-hmm. I do.
I heard you guys talking about changes that we're going to die to the tank. Did you say there's some changes?